The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone, where local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.FM is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO abduction phenomenon. So, I've occasionally mentioned on my show my own close encounter UAP sighting, and last month, Tony Civilelli was the guest host. And I went more into detail of what I recalled. I also have mentioned my sister's lifelong recollections of otherworldly beings. But today I thought it would be only fair to have her voice heard and relate some of her experiences firsthand. So Martha Twitchell, a pseudonym, is 3 years my senior, born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, and lived in the area all of her life. She graduated from Cody High School in Detroit and later was married until her husband's passing in 1986. Most of her life, she was highly skeptical of the UAP phenomenon until, well, let's let her tell her own story. Welcome to the show, Martha.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And last month, I shared my own account, as I was saying, and of what I recall from our UAP sighting back in 1964. But please tell our listeners what you consciously remember about that night.
Okay. Well, we all got in bed, and all of a sudden, you're hollering, "Mother, the sky is green." And Daddy says, "Oh, shut up, David, and go to sleep." And of course, Mother, she checked things out. She wanted to know if David was putting on or not. And she went in his room and she says, "Earl, the sky is green." And so we all got up and we ran outside to see what the green was. And David and our dad stood on one side of the walkway, and Mother and I stood on the other side of the walkway. And Mother had her arm around me. She stood on the right side of me. Well, when we were looking at all this green and everything, she put her arm around me and she says, "It's got to be the second coming." And I thought, well, I thought the second coming would be all white, but oh well, you know, I'm just a 17-year-old kid, you know. So anyway, we were just standing there looking, and all of a sudden, Mother was on the other side of me, and we were still looking up in the sky, but then we went in and went to bed and didn't mention it again that night. It seems like we would have, you know. Well, I wonder what that was. Wasn't that something? Never seen anything like that. You know, we didn't say anything. We went to our beds.
So I recall over on the corner, a little like a tornado with smoke in the sky as well. You remember that?
Yeah, it was all everywhere. I mean, and like you had said before, the crickets weren't chirping, nothing was making any noise, nobody was out. Because I looked around the neighborhood and I saw lights in the houses, you know, so people were there and they were up because the lights were on. But it was like the Twitchells are having their party and we're leaving them alone. You know, I mean, it was just us, nobody else, even right next door.
Well, do you remember that? Now, I remember that little tornado of smoke that was coming down from the sky. Do you?
And not as much as you do, because you saw it from your room as well.
No, well, no, I didn't see the tornado of smoke.
Oh, I thought you said you
had. As we were standing out in front of the house, I saw this tornado of smoke.
Mm-hmm. But all of it just seemed to be, what the heck is this? And then we went inside. And the one thing that I want to remind you is that Mother was standing on my right side, and she said, it's got to be the second coming. And then a few seconds later, it seemed like she was standing on the other side and she didn't have her arm around me or nothing. And how she got from over here with her arm around me to this side, I don't know.
Did you question it at the time?
No.
What did you think you were witnessing at the time in the sky?
I really don't know, because I didn't know anything about UFOs and all that. And all I know is that after Mother said the second coming, then we just didn't give two toots or a holler what that was. I mean, we just went inside, you know, we didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll revisit that night a little later, but a little later in the show. But right now, what do you recall about childhood visitations by small humanoids?
Well, I remember this one time, this 3 foot or so cat came down my driveway.
A cat.
A cat. And
kind of a tall cat, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but when you're 3 years old, you know, you don't think about that. And after all, you see cartoons and you know, little kids' cartoons are just part of the world. And so here's this cat. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't a cat anymore. He was a little gray type thing. And we were in this little, almost size of a good size walk-in closet. And he was over on the other side of the room. And he was doing things with levers and buttons and different things. And I'm sitting on the floor across from him. And you know how a little kid just would sit there and they'd looking out at him. And every once in a while, he'd turn back to see if I was okay and kind of sitting there, not getting up and starting to walk around or something. And I just sat there and watched him. And then all of a sudden, I was playing in my backyard again.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't question did you question the fact that this cat was 3 feet tall? Or
not really. Like I say, you know, when kids watch cartoons, that's all fantasy, but in a three-year-old's world, it's part of the world.
Yeah. Once you see it, it's there, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, so when this cat, I don't know why they said a cat, but even to today, I'm not that crazy about cats. I'm getting a little bit better because I've said to myself, I've got to forget about that. But you don't really forget it. You just make yourself live with it.
Yeah. Now, you've told me in the past about beings that would float you and themselves out of walls and windows.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. Well, what was that experience like?
Well, I've had a few of those. One time when I was maybe 10 or so, it was in the middle of the summer, and I would sleep at the end of the bed instead of the top of the bed, because the window was closer to the end of the bed and I'd get more breeze, and we didn't have air conditioning. And so this would be in the early 50s. And this little being comes and gets me, and we go out the window to this craft that's out there, and that's all I know. And then
did you recognize it as a craft or
no what? It was just something like the car was parked out there and he was coming to get me and we went to the car, that kind of a an idea. I didn't know it was a UFO craft,
right,
but just like, you know, if I go to pick you up and you come running out of the house and get in the car. Mm-hmm. That was the type of thing that that it seemed to be to me. And then another time, I was a lot older, and my mother had died, and I got in bed, and I was laying there, you know, and all of a sudden there's this light at my window, and I thought, oh,
how old were you then?
Oh, gosh, I was over 50, because mother died when I was 51.
Okay,
so anyway, she... this light come right into my room. And I got a little bit scared at first. And then I said, oh, is that you, mother? And this light seemed to say to me, yeah, I guess if that's what you want me to be, that's fine with me. So anyway, we went out that window. He and I went out that window. And, then there's a story about that, but you want to know about the times that I went out. Well, then
take your time.
Then this other one, I had just moved from one apartment to another. Mother and I had a two bedroom, and so I wanted a one bedroom, it'd be cheaper. So I went to the one bedroom and I was hanging up my clothes, taking them out of a box, put them on hangers and hang them up. And all of a sudden, I saw something in the hallway, and I look, and this light went into the bathroom, and I thought, what the heck's going on here? So I started going in the bathroom. Well, whatever was that light, and I went through that wall and through another wall out to a craft that was parked out there just the other side of the fence. And I have a story about what happened then. But if you want me to keep those stories for the end, or if you want me to put them in with the things.
Well, let's go chronologically back when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you, how did you know that these weren't dreams floating through walls and windows?
Because for one thing, I just laid down. Well, how many people just lay down and go to sleep and have a dream? I mean, however, that did happen once. I had three, it wasn't that long ago, I had three little guys standing in my hallway, and I was getting in bed, and I saw them. And I said, couldn't you wait for me at least to go to sleep?
But you were used to this phenomenon at the time.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's like, if I'm asleep, I'm not as scared. If I'm awake, then all things are not right. Okay, so anyway, I says, wait till I'm asleep. And it was like, oh, you need to be asleep? Okay, fine. And I went to sleep. And what they did, I don't know. I have been told that they can just think what they want me to do, and that would be sleep, and I can do it. But
telepathically.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
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 So, but as a child, going back to the childhood,
yeah,
these things were happening to you, and you're floating through walls. Did you think that everybody, all children, or all everybody, this happened to in the middle of the night or as you're going to bed?
I don't know if I thought everybody did it, but I guess I'd had it several times, so I just kind of, just like the told the three little guys, well, at least you could wait till I get to sleep. But when I was a kid, I don't remember on those particular things. I don't remember anything more than what I just told you.
Yeah.
Like when I went out the bedroom window and when I went with the cat. And, you know, so therefore, there's other things that I can tell you what happened that I just told you. You want me to go back to those? Is that what you want?
Well, I was going for the as a child when you did not accept UFOs or UAPs,
right,
or whatever.
Right. No, I did not, and I did not do that. And matter of fact, the 1962 sighting and everything, I don't know what, I just didn't know what it was, and that was that. But
one of those things, is it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I couldn't explain it. So, and probably after this had happened a few times, it's like, oh, them again. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that much about it.
Okay. So, yeah, I have to take a moment just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm speaking with my sister today, Martha Twitchell, and recalling some of the things that she remembers as a child and throughout her life with her encounters with otherworldly beings. And so, Martha, you said that, you said, I remember that you always wanted to switch rooms. We had a three-bedroom home, and the basement was partially finished. And our parents were in one room. You and I were in one of the other two bedrooms. But you always wanted to switch bedrooms back and forth over a couple months or so. I didn't seem to think anything about it. But what was the rationale behind that?
Well, I really, truly don't know exactly. But I remember I thought that other room would be so much nicer. So I said, would you help me? No. So I said, will you help me move my stuff if I pay you? Yeah, okay. So I don't know what I paid you, but, you know, some of my allowance or something.
Don't listen to her.
Oh, yes, but it was. So anyway, he helped me take the bed apart, put it back, and put the dresser in there, all that stuff. Okay, I'd no more than really get settled. I don't know. I shouldn't have done this. I should have stayed in the other room. Okay, I'll pay you again if you put me back. So we'd go back. Well, I think we did this four times. Two times per different switch.
Right.
And
but what was the purpose behind it?
I don't really know. I just was uncomfortable in either room. And so I thought, well, maybe I should have stayed in the other one. That would have been better. But it just never satisfied me. And I think it was because of what was going on, like the little guy coming in and taking me to the craft. And I don't know what happened. All I know is I went.
Could you fathom a guess as to how many times while you were living in a parent's home that these encounters happened, where little guys would come in and take you through a wall or window? And
well, those rooms, that thing.
Either room.
But that thing. Well, I don't remember in as much in the other room as I did the, you know, the one that you used to have at first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that one, I don't remember so much, but it must have been because I wanted out of there.
Mm. You couldn't put your finger on it.
But I couldn't put my finger on it.
Okay.
Except for that one time where he did come to the bed and take me to the craft.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe these things? Were they cat-like?
Or? Yeah. You know, this is weird. You know the cat, the regular cat that doesn't have any hair?
Yeah.
I never can remember what the name of it is, but the cat that doesn't have any hair. Oh, anyway, I don't like cats at all, but that one really bothers me because that one looks so much like a gray.
Okay.
And so I would say that it's like I'm getting more used to it. And now that I'm older, I don't think they come for me, at least not very often. And so And after all, you know, I think they want the younger people anyway, but maybe they want to know how we age. That's how many wrinkles I got, little guy, if you want to know. But, you know, I just, and I used to think, oh, David, why are you talking about such things? This is so dumb.
What, UFOs?
Yeah, and when you told me you were going to Lansing to visit a group that thinks that they've been taken by aliens, I'm going, oh, David.
In Flint,
yeah. And I said, oh, David, why are you going to such a silly thing? Well, I don't feel that way now, but, you know.
What changed your mind about this phenomenon?
Okay, well, you had written this book, UFO Jesus Connection, and I read it, and I asked you about some other books, and you gave me Witness, right?
Witness by Bud Hopkins.
Well, she described so many things.
She means the main character.
The main character, yeah. She named so many things that were so, oh my gosh, that's what she saw? I did that too. And so it was like, I gotta look into this.
So these experiences that happened that I've mentioned in my book, mm-hmm. got you thinking, well, that happened to me as well?
Yeah, your book and Witness got me to thinking that. And so that's when I wanted to go further with it.
Okay.
You know.
So you read Witness, and Linda Cortile was the character in that.
Yes.
And then I recall you coming over to the house and saying, I got to talk to you personally. And you came to the house and you said, why are these things that happened to Linda Cortile in this book happening to me?
Or has happened
to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so therefore I thought, I got to look into this and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about left foot, a joint in your left foot.
Well, I went to bed one night and I was whole. And
you were what?
I was whole. W-H-O-L-E, whole. I had all my parts.
All my parts.
And when I woke up, my second digit on my left foot hurt like the devil. And then it got black and blue. And so I went to the foot doctor, and he said I didn't have a toe joint there. I says, what do you mean I don't have a toe joint? And I says, I've had a toe joint all my life. And let me see, I was quite young, let's put it that way. And
Okay, so when you say you were whole, in other words, you did not have anything wrong with you physically.
Right. All my parts were there.
All your parts were there.
And when I woke up and it got worse and worse, I found out that it was, the toe joint was gone. It was gone. Well, I had an artificial one put in and it slipped and oh boy, did that ever hurt.
But so, what was the excuse that the toe joint was gone?
Didn't know, but because it was gone, well, let's put an artificial one in there. Well, that would have been fine if it had stayed put. So they took it out, and I didn't have a new one put in. But
I recall you telling me that your doctor said it must have been arthritis.
Yeah, it must have been arthritis. And you know, when you say it must have been, to me, that means I don't know what the heck is going on. You know, really. You know.
But arthritis, to my way of thinking, I'm no doctor, but to my way of thinking, arthritis starts out, it starts working on the joint, and it starts hurting more and more and more all the time until it eats away at the joint.
Yeah.
But
that is not the way.
I didn't have any pain to begin with.
I didn't go to the doctor right away, but because it hurt. But once it started getting black, you know, then I'm saying, we better do something here.
How much time had expired between the time you woke up with pain and you saw the doctor.
Couple weeks. Yeah.
So we're not talking about years.
No.
Okay.
No. It was just getting so black and blue that I knew I had to do something. And
so where did that joint go?
Well, I was talking to one of the ladies that is very well known through MUFON, and she said that she knows that they do like to take toe joints because they study them. Now, what they study them for, I don't know. But this lady, if she says that she knows something, I believe her, because she is studies so much about all this, and she's been an abductee for years, and therefore, or an experiencer, I don't know what she calls herself, but anyway, she knows what she's talking about. She's not just guessing.
Are you talking about Landy?
Yeah.
Landy Mellis. She's a a co-author with David Kaywood, who unfortunately has passed, but she's a co-author of The Other Sky, which they chronicle their experiences and her experiences.
Right.
And she's pretty well known in the UFO circles.
Mm-hmm.
I can trust her, and I think you can too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, okay.
And I have told her about other things I've seen in crafts and that type of thing. And she says, yes, I was to that building for a meeting. In other words, she knew where I had been by my describing it.
Mm.
And that she knew right where it was. And I told her about going up all these stairs. And then it was like a department store, but there was nothing there. And then you went up another stairway, and there was a meeting room to the right. She said, oh, I've been in that meeting room many times. So, you know, it's not just reading things, thinking about things, knowing that I had these things happen. I have had people tell me that they have been where I've been and all this.
Well, obviously, if you read in my book, I was describing what experiencers have experienced,
mm-hmm.
and which made you say, well, that's happened to me.
Yeah.
And then when you get witnessed and you read witnessed,
and then I talked to Landy.
It confirmed the fact that these things have happened to you.
And then when I talked to Landy, you know. But
so when you talked to Landy is when you finally went to those crazy people in Flint.
Well, I'd gone there a few times. Matter of fact, Landy told me about 9/11. Mm-hmm. She said she had a dream and there was all these people in a great big room. It was like an auditorium or a gymnasium. That's what it was, a gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all going, what's the matter? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? And she found out that it was the 9/11 people that all of a sudden were blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually saw this.
These were the spirits of those who.
Yes.
Who went over, crossed over.
3,000 or whatever.
So instantly.
Yes. Yeah. And the instantly was why they were going, what's going on? What's going on? Because they did not know what's happening.
Right, right.
They didn't know they were sick or a car is going to crash or something. They just had no idea that something like this was happening. So they were kind of running around going, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, Landy Mellis has also proven herself to be quite sensitive,
mm-hmm.
Quite psychic, and
mm-hmm.
Precognitive dreams and that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
which can also happen when you're when one is an experiencer,
mm-hmm.
Just being in the presence of these beings,
mm-hmm.
I guess, seems to. So, also, while you were married, your doctor took a pregnancy test and told you and said it was positive.
He did.
Tell us about that.
Well, he did, and that was in April of 69. And, oh, I was so excited. Oh, I wanted a baby so bad. And then I went back in May for a first examination, and the doctor says to me, wait a minute. So he comes back with another doctor, and he says, Ann, you're not pregnant. I said, what do you mean I'm not pregnant?
This was after how long at first?
1 month.
1 month.
Yeah. I'd gone in April. He said I was pregnant.
Okay.
Then I went in May. He said I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
And so, but the term would have been like 3 months. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. So anyway.
After your first trimester.
Yeah. So anyway, of course, I was devastated. And you know, I still don't know what ever happened. But they say that this happens all the time to people, and that they come back, the little guys come back and take it, because actually some people say that it's not even a human, that they have planted whatever they wanted to.
It's a hybrid.
Yeah, they've planted what they wanted to be able, and then okay, you've done enough, now I'm going to do the rest. You know, they come and get it.
Using humans as incubators.
Yeah.
So didn't you tell me also you had a dream in the interim there?
Oh, yeah. I got up to go to the bathroom, and I went to wash my hands. And
is this the dream?
This is whatever it was.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'm standing there, and in the sink is this little brown guy. And you know what, years ago, there was the little gummy guy.
Gumby. Gumby.
Yeah, and I call it gummy probably. But anyway, a Gumby. And it looked just like that. And I'm standing in front of the sink. I see that. And over here is a little gray.
Mm.
And
to your left.
To my left, yeah. And this was all for just a second or two. I saw him. I saw this little guy. And then everything went away, and I went back to bed.
Mm.
And so.
So you don't know if that was a dream or if that was when they, assuming that they had impregnated you and used you as an incubator, this may well have been the instance where they reclaimed that fetus.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let me see it. Now, some people say that they go on a craft where they see their child,
mm-hmm.
and they have even held their child.
After a birth.
Yes.
But this wasn't birth.
No. No. If that little guy was gone fully, I think it would be really different.
A hybrid.
Yeah, because that was weird looking, but anyway.
And maybe it did.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know. You don't know what they're going to, you know, be doing.
And they don't care what happens to you after.
No.
Before or after.
No, but.
But they don't really hurt you.
They didn't hurt me then, but.
Did they ever hurt you?
No, not really. The one time, well, I don't know if you want to keep that, but the 1962,
yeah.
When I did remember about going on the
right.
the ship, I woke up a little bit and I got really scared. And so this tall guy, real tall. I'm laying on this bench, and he's really tall to me, laying on the bench. And he just touched my forehead, and I went back to sleep. And I was telling Landy about that. She says, yeah. And she says, they do that. And this a tall guy is called the doctor.
Mm.
The other guys, the little grays, are his helpers.
Mm-hmm.
He is the doctor. Now, what he, you know, if he just does everything that a doctor would do, you know, I don't know. But they call him the doctor.
Okay. And the grays, as you say, have gray skin. And what about their eyes?
Yeah. They're kind of almond shape and dark. I've heard that those dark are like glasses that they have to have on for the atmosphere. Mm. But if that's true and they can take them off other times, I don't know.
I like contact sunglasses, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, there was an instance that I believe you told me in your apartment where you're walking down the hallway and you saw blue light mm-hmm. in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, I went and sat on the bed.
First you walked into the...
I walked into the bedroom, sat on the bed. And I don't remember anything else until I was kind of in a different position on the bed, like I'd done something, gone somewhere. And then there was a green light that I saw. And Landy said, yes, the green light is a particular chemical that the UFO lets off when it is going to take off.
Hmm.
I don't know anything more about that than that, but that's what she told me.
So what was the first time that you suspected that you might be part of this alien abduction phenomenon?
Well, I already told you that it was reading your book, reading the other books, comparing it, and going, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And then you went under hypnosis to
yeah.
find out about that we're revisiting now our first
mm-hmm.
UFO encounter. That's where I saw the tornado of smoke. We all saw the light, and then boom,
yeah,
it's gone.
Well, we were standing out
filling
there.
The blanks. There.
Okay, this is what I found out when I was hypnotized. We were standing there, and this craft landed kind of over on the, we were the second house in the corner, and it landed over there on the other corner. And it had great big floodlights on the bottom of it. Remember that? And these two little guys come over to us, and he comes for you, and you and he starts walking away. And I don't know if I was hollering it or if I was thinking it. No, 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 don't take my baby brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other little guy come and got me. So I guess I thought, oh, well, if I'm going too, it's all right. But I thought that they were going to take you away and never come back. Well, maybe that would have been better. anyway.
We'll get into that. So,
no, I love him dearly. But anyway, anyway, I go in there because I don't know where you are because I guess they took you to another room or something. But anyway, I went in there and there was a spiral staircase and I can still see that. I'm laying over here on this table or stone table and over here is the spiral case to my left. And to this day, I cannot stand spiral staircases, backless staircases. Oh my gosh. It gives me vertigo very bad to even think about it. But anyway, that is where all these little guys, they were coming out of the wall at the end of the room with rolling carts. And I don't know what they had on it, but it kind of looked like bandages and that kind of thing. But maybe, I don't know, but that's what I remember. And that's when the doctor made me go back to sleep. And after a little bit, they took me back. And you guys weren't standing in the same places at all. And none of you seemed to be watching me coming back to you. But once I got there, once I was actually with you, then you kind of come out of it and you knew that I was there. Apparently, once I got there, the situation was over with. That's why you would turn back on. That's all I can think of.
Mm.
Actually, that's all that I remember from that. And I don't know what happened with you. but I know you went. Now, well, that I know that, but I don't know anything else.
I don't remember anything other than the conscious memory that I have shared. But the people say, "Well, what, your sister has undergone hypnosis. Why don't you?" Well, I said, "I don't want to. I know what I know, and that's all that I know. I don't want to know anymore." But I need to take a break just to tell our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And for the first time here, I'm speaking with my sister, Martha Twitchell, and her recollections of encounters with otherworldly beings from the time we first had our sighting back in 1962 in Detroit, Michigan, not in the middle of a field, not in a rural area, but in Detroit, Michigan, a highly populated residential area. So, you know, when people say, "Oh, these UFOs, UAPs, they only happen to farmers out in the field in rural areas," not true. Would you agree with that?
That is for sure. The houses probably were 20, 25 feet apart.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, houses after houses. So far from a field.
So anybody familiar with Detroit, Michigan, the Joy Road Southfield area is where we lived. And that's that has been a residential area for a very, very long time. But they kept coming back for you, seemingly. Obviously, I should say. And how do you think that they would find you?
Well, I don't know, but I think it was because they put a little tracking device in my arm.
In your arm?
Yes, my left upper arm. And I still have the little welt or whatever, but I don't think that it's there anymore. Because, I mean, the actual tracking device. Because before, I could feel it with my finger. I could feel a little lump in there. Like a teeny tiny stone. But I don't feel that anymore. But now that I'm 77, I guess they say, well, she's done having babies. She's done with a lot of stuff. I don't need her no more. So, but, you know, I have a friend that she lived on the 10th floor, and she was worried that 10th floor, top floor, they could land on the roof and take her very easily. And I said, well, I have a friend who was in the basement and they took him. So don't worry, anywhere you are, if they want you, they are going to get you. And in other words, they're in charge. And I remember very well getting this in my arm. And I remember the thing that they put it in there. It was about 5 inches long, and about as big around as a quarter. And I think nowadays they do give shots with this type of a thing. It's like you load it and you put it by the arm and press the button and the shot goes in.
With air pressure.
Probably. Yeah. But the thing is, when I had this done, they did not have those. At least I didn't know anything about it. Never seen it.
Yeah.
Then on television, several years later, they were giving flu shots to children on Mackinac Island for free. Mm-hmm. And they showed giving these shots to all these children. And they had the same kind of a shotgun.
Yeah.
That I had gotten my...
Push in with air. Mm-hmm. Funny you should mention that, because... our sighting, of course, was in 62. And I went to the Army in 1969. And, of course, like you say, they didn't have anything like that for shots in 62. However, in 69, when we were going were about to go overseas, had us all line up and a row of people, a little row of doctors or nurses on either side, and we would walk through the middle of them, and they would give us shots, the shots that we needed for our destination, in either arm with exactly that kind of a gun. It shot it into you with air pressure. And they said, relax your arm or you'll bleed. And a lot of guys that were bleeding because they were tensed up. They didn't know what to expect. I just relaxed. It's going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. It didn't hurt at all. Doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah, that didn't hurt me either.
Huh.
But it wasn't.
But to my knowledge, they don't use that anymore. They might. I don't know.
Well, all I know is I'd never seen it before. And then when they had it on the television about these kids, I thought, oh boy, that is just like what I had. Now, I'm thinking, therefore, that our government probably found out about that and thought that was pretty neat. And so they were using it. And if it doesn't hurt at all, that's good too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've known you all of my life. You've known me most of yours. And I've known you to be, like our mother, a very Christian person, very religious person. And you would say, before you read my book, before you read Bud Hopkins' book, this didn't exist, couldn't exist. Typical religious, orthodox religion type upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out what's been happening to you is real.
Mm-hmm.
Not just fiction, not just going on in your brother's mind or silly books or whatever, but real. How were you able to acclimate your abduction experiences with your personal religious beliefs?
Well, you know, God made elephants and tigers and dogs and penguins and all kinds of stuff, didn't he?
I thought you were going to name them all.
No, but I'm just saying he made a lot of different animals. Why can't he have made all kinds of beings? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying beings because they probably aren't human, because that's what we are. So they're another whatever.
Humanoid, possibly.
Well, but some of them look like,
praying mantis?
Yeah, all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
All kinds of different things. All right. If that be the case, why couldn't he have made all these different things?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so therefore, okay, you got me on this one, on this planet, and over there you put this other kind of a thing on that planet, and another kind of thing on that planet. And of course, there's many planets, so there could be very many things, just like many kinds of animals. And that's kind of where I've left it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people worry about believing this because they're a Christian. The Bible is what we're supposed to go by, and there's a lot of things in there about these things. But then people, that was just then, and this is now. Well, no, not
that
really.
That was then, this is now.
Yeah, well, you know, like we shouldn't be believing all this nonsense. Well, you know, that's in the Bible. Well, I always think, too, if you can't believe the whole Bible, you can't believe any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's very, now that I've studied some of this stuff and you've been talking about all this stuff so long, I can just say, well, that's the way it is, and that's the way it is.
And accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on other planets, they may not have the same type of oxygen or any oxygen.
Yeah.
But look at the depths of our ocean and mm-hmm. the height of our, mm-hmm. you know, different environmental environments that species have to adapt to, and they adapt. Mm-hmm. They adapt even out in space. They adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So on other planets, they would adapt. And do you think they have a religion as well? I think they.
Well, now I don't know. I have talked to people at the meetings that have said that they have asked, you know, are you gods or something? No, we are sent by God. God made us all.
Okay.
All right. So if God made us all, they're not. But you see, years ago, you know, people didn't know the things they do now. So therefore, they probably, you know, they didn't have airplanes and stuff. Well, okay. Then the only thing that's up in the heavens is God. So whatever comes down has to be mm-hmm. God. But they are working for God. But now, just what they're doing, we don't know. But
but are they working for God? Or are they just working for themselves?
Well,
back then, they thought, well, they're coming down from the sky. They must be gods or angels of gods. And when actually they were working for themselves, or they were trying to help us adapt to
well, I think there's some that are bad and some that are good. Yeah. But I think the good ones are just, I'm thinking, especially now that I see some of the things on television about what's going on in this world, that they are saying, hey, we ruined our place. And we're trying to help you not ruin yours.
The planet.
And if you want to ruin yours, then we want to get some of this stuff off here so that we can keep going. I mean, I don't think they want to harm us, like blow us up. Don't you think they would have done that several years ago?
That's what I always think.
But, you know, some of them are not so good. But there's one thing I want to make sure that I get in here, if I may.
Please.
The time that there was a light and I went out the window with what I thought was Mother. Mm-hmm. All right. I went down the parking lot a little ways with this guy. And I don't mean walking. I mean floating. And over in the parking lot across the fence was this ship. I went in there and it took off. And it went across the street. I lived across the street from a movie theater. And the movie theater, in the middle of the night, there's nobody in the parking lot. But there was this great big craft. This craft was not on the ground, but it was above, just so far. And it just stood there.
Hovered.
It hovered, and my craft went inside. And I'm looking out, and I'm seeing all the cement. And I thought, well, where the heck is this? All the cement. First he's in the parking lot, but now he's in something that's all cement. Well, you know, I went to Landy. She was my go-to. And I was telling her, she says, well, your little ship went in the mothership and they did whatever they wanted to do and then took you home. I says, that's exactly what has had to have happened.
So what was the cement? It was just the inside of the craft?
Correct. It was the inside of the mothership.
I see.
And one time I was going through a small town here. And I'm going down the street. And in the sky, I saw this great big thing. Oh, my gosh. It was humongous. And I'm going down the street, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I just know that's a UFO of some type. And so I get to the end of the street, and it's kind of moving to the right down the street. So I thought, well, when I get around the corner, I'll see it again. And I didn't. Well, I know very well that was a UFO mothercraft. And one time, my great niece and I were sitting on my patio, or my balcony, I should say, of my apartment, because I was on the second floor. We're just sitting there talking and looking at the sky. And she says, look at that. I said, oh, my gosh. And we saw this big light, and then we saw five little lights, and they were coming out of the big one. Mm-hmm. And they were coming out. Coming out of the big one. Mm. And I says to my great niece, I says, that's a UFO. It's a mothership, and her little ones are coming out. And she says, is it really? I said, I believe so. So we watched and we watched. And then I says, you got to call your grandfather, which is you, David. And she told you about it. Oh, she was so excited. Oh, my goodness. She was so excited. She'd really seen a UFO. I says, well, I'm sure it is. I says, stars don't do that.
No, stars don't come out of other stars.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so anyway, that was quite a thing that we saw. So I know I've seen, you know, different ones. A friend of mine was told that the satellite was going to be coming over Detroit area. And so she went out on her porch, or that back porch, and she was watching for it. And she says to me, oh, Martha, you saw, we saw the, what did I just say?
You said satellite. But
I just saw the satellite. Mm-hmm. I said, really? Yeah, she says, it was just above that tree out there. And it was kind of a short tree. It wasn't very high. I says, really? Did it take off fast? Yeah. How close was it? I could have put my hand up to it practically. I says, and you think that was the satellite? Yeah, I says, the satellite don't come down that far. So I think she had a UFO, and she is an abductee, so I figured that that's probably what happened.
I can't imagine being an abductee, why she would think that that was a satellite of any kind.
I don't know. That was in her mind, that they said on the news the satellite was going to be going
and
over.
Maybe that's what these beings were telling her. This is a satellite.
Well, just like the white light told me, yeah, I'm your mother.
Yeah, right.
Well, whatever makes you float and whatever makes you feel good,
whatever
go
floats,
right ahead.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, just go right ahead with it. I'm happy, you know, whatever you want.
So you've been able to live with this all of your life, and you'll be able to live with it the rest of your life, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I really don't think now, a couple years ago, I did have those little three guys, but that was the only time for the last little bit. So,
well, I certainly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your personal, very personal experiences with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed doing it.
Right.
I was on your TV show one time many years ago.
Yeah.
And so now I've been on both.
Yeah, you've made the rounds.
Yeah.
And which is great. So at any rate. Okay, thanks again for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you'll find my website with all the archive shows. Please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.